My guest at this time is Robert Rector. He's a senior research fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. He's also been very closely associated with welfare reform over the years and was very much involved in the process that led to the 1996 Welfare Reform Act. Recent changes to the work requirements by the Obama administration have been a source of great controversy and contention on the campaign trail, with the Obama administration saying that the allegations from the Romney campaign that he gutted work requirements are incorrect. And Mr. Rector is here now to separate fact from fiction. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's start with your involvement so folks know exactly how closely you're associated with the reforms that happened in 1996. What was your role in moving them
forward? I'm about as close as you can get. I wrote those work requirements as an advisor to Congressman Jim Talent. I wrote the work requirements that have now been waived or done away with by the Obama administration. So I have a pretty good sense of what's going on.
We're going to play a couple different clips during our time here. The first one is from Rick Santorum, who was a lead sponsor of this in the Senate back in the mid-1990s. Here's what he had to say at the convention at the end of last month.
Now, I helped write the welfare reform bill. We made the law crystal clear. No president can waive the work requirement. But as with his refusal to enforce our immigration laws, President Obama rules like he is above the law.
Mr. Rector, explain what you wrote in those work requirement rules and what exactly the administration did here just a few weeks ago.
Former Senator Santorum has it exactly right. The essence of welfare reform in 1996, people call it Clinton's reform, but Clinton did not really write this law, and he actually vetoed the law twice before he finally signed it, being told that if he didn't sign it, he would lose the reelection bid to Bob Dole. But the essence of that reform was to require a certain portion of the able-bodied recipients in what used to be called the Aid to Families with Dependent Children Program. We now have a new name on it, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families. We required about a third of the able-bodied recipients in that program to work or prepare for work roughly 20 to 30 hours a week. And as soon as we did that, the caseload in the program within a few years dropped by 50%. It had not dropped for a half a century before that. And the work rate among single mothers that were affected by the program went up enormously. And the child poverty rate, particularly among single mothers, dropped to historic lows. So the reform, when it was in its vigor, was incredibly successful by both conservative and liberal standards. Because work was the core of the reform, we said you can't waive these work requirements. There's a thing in the law called an 1115 waiver, to get very boring and technical. But the government or the administration cannot use that waiver unless the law specifically says you can waive this section of the law. Well, the section of the law that contains the work requirements is not included under the things that can be waived. That was not an accident. It was very clear. The law is very clear. The historical record is very clear. Every person that was involved in writing this law has been very clear. This is a complete violation. And the administration has not made any attempt to say, well, yeah, the Congress intended to give us this right to do away with these work requirements. They've said, well, we have a little sneaky loophole that we think we can pull out here that allows us to do this, irrespective of the fact that it's pretty obvious no one intended to allow us to have that loophole, and this was never supposed to be waived. For 15 years after the passage of this law, there was never any suggestion that the president or the executive branch could do away with these work requirements, just like they did on granting amnesty. They're just making this up because they do believe that they are not subject to the laws of the United States.
So by changing them in any way, shape, or form without congressional action is a violation of the law, regardless of the details in which they do so.
It's a clear violation of the law, but they kind of go beyond that. What they say in their guidance is that they're going to change every aspect of these work requirements, the number of people that would be required to work, the amount of time, the definitions of work activity, all of those things they're going to change. And even worse, they very explicitly said, we're going to come up with some new standards to use in lieu of, and I quote, in lieu of, the standards that are in the law. So they're basically saying, what was in the law, this work program, it's done for. We're doing away with it now, and we're creating a completely new program from the bottom up, and that program essentially will be a farce. Very few people, if any, will be required to work or prepare for work under the new system.
Last week, of course, at the Democratic Convention, former President Clinton, who, as you mentioned, signed the bill after vetoing two earlier versions, briefly addressed this as part of his speech in support of President Obama. Here was his analysis of what changes this administration had made.
When some Republican governors asked if they could have waivers to try new ways to put people on welfare back to work, the Obama administration listened, and the administration agreed to give waivers to those governors and others only if they had a credible plan to increase employment by 20%, and they could keep the waivers only if they did increase employment. Now, did I make myself clear? The requirement was for more work, not less.
He says more work. Mr. Rector, how do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, let me say that no Republican governors asked them to do this. They did have one letter from a career bureaucrat, a career welfare bureaucrat in the state of Nevada who'd been in the welfare bureaucracy there for 40 years, who said, gee, I'd kind of like to do these things. And what he was explicitly asking for was for them to reduce the work requirements so he would have to do less. But what they didn't communicate with was the Republicans in the House of Representatives who have authority over this. They very specifically and illegally, not only is their action illegal in changing the law, but they were also required to advise Congress that they were doing this. GAO just said that very clearly. And they did that because they knew perfectly well that Congress would go nuts. That's what they mean by reaching across the aisle. It's just to ignore the Republicans and to ignore the Congress entirely. Now, this thing, more work, not less. This is like an old, moth-eaten, dead rabbit that the welfare bureaucracy can pull out of a hat, and it's been doing this for 40 years. And the measure that they're talking about is the number of people that leave the welfare rolls by obtaining a job, and it's a great propaganda stunt. It's a great public relations stunt because, wow, that sounds really effective. It sounds like you're reducing dependency, doesn't it? Well, in fact, it's an old trick. It's just a scam. It's been around for 40 years. The fact of the matter is that any welfare caseload has what's called routine turnover. Certain number of people come in, a certain number of people go out. And at the present time in a typical state, about 1.5% of the people on this program, Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, each month leave the rolls due to obtaining employment. So what they're saying when they're going to have a 20% increase is that number is going to go from 1.5% to 1.8%. It's an absolutely minuscule change. And the real question is, okay, so you raise the exit rate to 1.8%. What's happening with the other 98% of able-bodied individuals on that program? We don't know for certain, but the one thing we do know for certain is the federal government will no longer require them to work or prepare for work. This is such a minute change that this will occur automatically as the economy improves. The bureaucracy could be completely asleep at their desks. They will still get this change. Moreover, the records on who works and doesn't work when they leave the rolls are radically imperfect. So all the state has to do is improve its record keeping by a minute amount, and they've all obtained this standard, and they all will then be exempt from the requirement that says 30 to 40% of people have to be engaged in work activities. Even worse, this is a reverse indicator. Because of routine turnover, again, the main thing that determines the number of people that leave the rolls due to work is the size of the caseload. When the caseload goes up, because of routine turnover, the number of people leaving the rolls also goes up. When the caseload goes down, the number of people leaving the rolls also goes down. This has been true in the welfare system for 30 years. Everybody who understands the subject understands that. So it's a reverse indicator. And if you took this standard that Clinton is talking about here, oh, number of people leaving the rolls, 20% increase, what you actually see is that in the period prior to welfare reform, the old program, AFDC, was a rousing success. The caseload went up by about 40%, and the number of people leaving the rolls to obtain jobs went up by 100%. That's the system that Bill Clinton campaigned on ending welfare as we know it, because everyone understood that system was a complete disaster. Now, after welfare reform, the caseload is dropped by 50%, and as the caseload went down, the number of people who exit off of it also went down. So the standard that they're proposing to replace welfare reform is one that very clearly shows the old pre-reform welfare system that put more and more people onto welfare. That's a success. The post-reform system, reform system that they're now doing away with, that was a radical failure because as the caseload went down, the number of these exits went down. All this really means is that this is a complete scam. It's like a snake oil salesman for welfare. The numbers that they're promoting are reverse indicators of reducing dependence. The more exits you have, the more people you will have on welfare. It's been true for 30, 40 years. It's a completely dishonest way. But this is nothing new. When the welfare bureaucracy before welfare reform wanted to pretend that they were reducing dependency, they would use this bogus statistic. And the Welfare Reform Act, because we understood that that statistic was completely bogus and misleading, it's a reverse indicator, we said, we're not using that statistic anymore, absolutely not. We're going to require people to do things, or we're going to require that the caseload goes down, but we're not going to use these type of sham statistics anymore. They've thrown the law out, and now they're going back to lying to the American public, just like they did before welfare reform.
Last question before we let you go. Despite Clinton's initial reluctance to sign the bill you worked so closely on in 1996, this was seen as a great feather in his cap, and Democrats could take some credit for it. Why do you think they're so interested in going the opposite direction?
Half of the Democrats in the Senate and Congress voted against this, the entire left-wing half. Most of Clinton's cabinet urged him to veto this bill for the third time. Barack Obama was always on the very left wing of the Democratic Party, by some measures the most left-wing Democrat in the Senate, and that wing of the party opposed this welfare reform adamantly. In 2002, when the bill had to be reauthorized, they very clearly tried to eliminate all the federal work requirements. They tried to do that again in 2005. That's their record. They couldn't accomplish that legislatively, so now they're doing it illegally by a bureaucratic edict.
There's been a lot of confusion over it, and you've done an excellent job, sir, of helping us understand it much better and exactly what's gone on, not only since 1996, but in the last few weeks here, and also the political explanations behind it. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Robert Rector is a senior research fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation. He's also with the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at Heritage, and as you heard earlier in our conversation, a critical central player in the 1996 Welfare Reform Act. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.